Oh, hey there, Central Florida. Welcome into another edition of On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group, right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's news and talk. You want to get in touch, you can, 844-580-WDBO. That is the number to give us a call right now. Express lines wide open into the Certified Financial Group office here on the show, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9322. My name is Chris Crawford. I'm joined here this morning by Nancy Hecht and Rodney Ownby of the Certified Financial Group. They are both certified financial planner professionals. And if you want to get in touch with them right now, those phone lines are open. 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. Good morning, Nancy and Rodney. What kind of calls will we be taking on the show today?
Good morning. Well, we'll take calls on anybody's pocketbook kinds of questions. We'll take questions about your 401ks, your IRAs, your Roths.
Long-term care.
Long-term care, annuities, any type of questions that are bugging you and you've been wondering how you can solve a problem, or you have a nagging question and you just don't know who to ask about your financial future, please give us a call.
At 844-580-WDBO. 844-580-9326. That is the number to call and join us here. They are voted as one of the top 300 firms in the country, according to Financial Times. So this is an opportunity you want to take advantage of. Normally, this kind of advice would cost money, but they are giving it to you for free right now on the airwaves. 844-580-WDBO. 844-580-9326. And while we get some calls lined up, we do have a fantastic topic to tip the show off with today, in honor of Father's Day. Let's go ahead and encompass and channel our inner father, right? And we're going to talk about what your dad says, do this now, hurricane prep tips from your dad.
Exactly. That's it. So I moved here in 83, and my dad only lived to 85, and we hadn't had a hurricane over those 2 years. But since I've been married and my daughter has had a father, we've had a lot of hurricanes over the last 30 years.
So are you saying that it's your fault that we're now having hurricanes?
It's my husband and my daughter's fault. Okay. I'm just an innocent bystander. So this is what we do, and the advice from my husband to my kid and everybody else out there. So, first of all, you want to make sure you have cash in your house. You know, when we're past the hurricane and some, you know, maybe the local gas station or convenience store is working off a generator power, right, but doesn't necessarily have internet, and you want a snack, if you have actual paper money, you can get that.
You can get the snack,
and that,
right?
I know from actual experience.
Right.
Never let your gas tank get below half full. I think that that's a general purpose practice that you should.
Even it's not hurricane season.
Even right, but especially now.
In particular, in hurricane season.
If you have a generator, make sure that it is working. Make sure you've tested it. Make sure you have fuel. We have some 5-gallon gas tanks that get filled up prior to that and buried in the yard, so they can't, you know, get damaged or fly around. And then when hurricane season is over, the gas is still good. It goes into the car, so it doesn't get wasted.
And what else? You have ethanol-free gas in there, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't. The other gas gets old.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it separates and it doesn't work.
And peruse your yard for projectiles. All the little plants, potted plants that you have around, kids' toys. Anything that can fly, you want to make sure that you have in a shed, in the garage, you move into, you know, your living room or whatever. And then also look in your pantry. You know, how are you on tuna fish and, you know, canned goods? And
peanut butter.
Yes. You know, stuff that won't spoil and it's not going to put you in a panic. Same with paper goods.
Right.
So those are just a few of the hurricane tips. I don't know if you have anything that you want to add to it.
Well, just the cash is a big one, you know, because people lose electricity.
Yeah.
And they can't process credit card transactions.
Yeah.
So that's a huge one.
The gas grill was a savior.
Right.
And a percolator coffee pot, so you could still have coffee.
Right.
Because that's a savior for everybody in your family,
right,
when you can have coffee.
That's what gets you going in the morning.
Right. You know, and you can actually cook. You know, if you have food that you've thrown into a cooler, so you want to have access to it, and you have a gas grill, you know.
Well, and making sure that the propane tank is full, that's a big one. Because yes. I've made that mistake on numerous occasions where I go out to start up the grill and the tank's empty.
Do you not have backup tanks?
I used to have a backup tank, but it got kind of rusty and old. So we disposed of it in one of those, quarterly hazardous waste disposals.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, backup propane might be a good thing to have also. So, and we have a rapid charger for that is battery operated that you can use to charge your phones. So when internet service does come back up or cell service does come back up, you don't have to worry about your phone being dead.
Right.
So
I would add too, right now, especially as we're starting to get closer and closer towards when we'll get more frequent with these hurricanes and formings, I would say that now is a good time to also start adding just, you know, a case of water every time that you go out grocery shopping. Just pick one case up and stick it under the cart, and you know, that way in 4 or 5 weeks' time you'll have 5 cases of water stored up in your garage. You don't have to worry about it at the last minute when there's no water left.
Well, exactly. Yeah, there's a run on water. You know,
and
that
we never lost water. We would lose power, but we would not lose water. So that was interesting. But I do know people that did lose water. So very good tip, Chris, because people do panic about water and toilet paper. Why, I don't know.
Well, and then you can't get it. To Chris's point, you go there the last few days before the storm, and there's no water on the shelves.
Mm-hmm. So,
and then
we
if
have
you
time.
Don't, and then if you don't end up using it, like I think I had about 6 cases of water after last year because we didn't really get anything and didn't need to use it. Then I just have bottled water in my house that I can move to the fridge and have for convenience. It was fantastic.
Right. Or you could donate it.
Or that too. I don't have a Brita or a fridge thing though, so I actually rely on water bottles to get like good water. But yeah, you can also go ahead and donate it too if you have no use for it or it's just gonna sit in your garage for another year. Yeah, definitely.
MREs, we have a closet full of.
Do you really?
I'm married to a prepper, so yes, we have a lot of dry food,
and
I don't even know what's in the containers, but it'll sustain.
Yeah, and it lasts forever
for people for a long time. So yes,
at least 10 years, I think. Right?
Probably. Anyways,
I've never tried one of those before.
Well, we have sampled them. You know, some of them, that's where the rapid boiler work comes in handy. You put it in a little pouch. So what
is the rapid boiler? I've never heard of this before. I've seen a faucet before that comes out with
something
boiling water.
That my husband found. It's a little tiny thing, and it's got a little tiny propane tank onto it. Right. Yeah. And you can boil water in a minute and a half.
Wow. That's really neat. We got a new gas grill about like 4 or 5 months ago. And one of the things that I made sure was on this gas grill was actually one of the like a coiled pot holder there. So we can cook stuff on that
burner.
As well. Sunburn. Exactly. Yeah. So it was one of the things I was like, let's make sure we have that just in case, because you never know.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have a charcoal grill also. So which is, you know.
Oh, you're ready. I'm actually going to just come over to your place when.
Go to Nancy's. Right.
All right, well, if anyone has a question about any of that, or if you've just got a question about anything related to with the Certified Financial Group that they can help you out with, go ahead and give us a call right now at 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. We've got some text questions we'll get to. We can field your calls as well, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. When we get back, we'll also check in because workshop coming up here in about a week, and we want to hear just about what's going on there. You're listening to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group, where we're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With the Certified Financial Group on WDBO. And welcome back to On the Money, right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's News and Talk. Got open lines for you right now, 844-580-WDBO. That number, 844-580-9326. We are live and taking your calls right now, so go ahead, line them up, 844-580-WDBO. Momentarily, we are going to go chat with Rich. He's calling in from New York, the Big Apple. But in the meantime, we're going to talk with Dave. He's calling in from right here in Apopka. Dave, welcome to the show. What you got?
Reverse mortgages, pros and cons, and do they give you a third of the value of your home, a quarter, a tenth? You know, what is the normal percentage of the loan as related to the value of the house?
Your second question. So I've put my clients, a few of my clients and family members in a position where they've been able to take advantage of reverse mortgages. Some of them in circumstances where they just don't want to have to pay the mortgage anymore, or really, you know, could use the breathing room from not having to pay the mortgage
anymore.
It creates
cash flow.
Not necessarily taking any equity out of the home to live off of, but just having, you know, to only be responsible for their taxes and their insurance and no longer making a mortgage payment. I've had some people that have wanted to use the equity from their home, and generally there has to be something around 80% equity to value available, because a number of people that have applied for reverse mortgages do still have primary mortgages on their home. So the mortgage gets paid off, and then the equity that's above that is what is available for them. I've had some clients have a regular monthly payment go to them from the proceeds of their reverse mortgage, and some clients that just take a lump sum of cash out and use it as they wish. So I've only had good experiences with putting clients in touch with people locally that can provide reverse mortgages for them.
And
okay.
Dave, in terms of
yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, just in terms of the loan to value, you could get as much as 50 or 60% of the value if the house is free and clear. The bank or the financial institution that's funding it, they do want to leave themselves wiggle room in the event that there is a dip in property values where they're still, they're not upside down.
Right. I was just wondering if there were a lot of fees up front, and because obviously this is not a benevolent scenario.
No. And the fees are significant. They average a little bit more than $10,000. Most of the fees are from the federal government, because that's who regulates the reverse mortgage market.
Okay.
It's built into the reverse mortgage. You don't have to go into your pocket to pay those fees.
You're not cutting a check for those fees, Dave.
Right. They just reduce the amount of proceeds that you receive.
That's correct.
Exactly.
All right. Okay,
but
well,
if you want some information and you want to just, you know, have somebody shop it for you, please feel free to contact me. If you don't have somebody to, you know, run that scenario for you, I'd be happy to throw your information in the direction of the two people that I use and just see what they come up with.
All right. Well, now I have information from which to make a decision. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Excellent.
Great. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for that call, Dave.
Yeah, good luck, Dave.
And if Dave wanted to reach out to you there, how would he do that?
Well, our office number is 407-869-9800. And Chris Todvine happens to be taking calls today. If you have a more extensive or you don't want to be on the air, you can feel free to call him today. I can be reached at Nancy, N-A-N-C-Y, at financialgroup.com, and Rodney is R-O-D-N-E-Y, at financialgroup.com. So you could email either of us also.
All right.
And to Nancy's point, there are two or three good providers, so you should shop that to
just
see what the fees are involved with the reverse mortgage.
Beautiful. Let's go ahead and travel up to New York, the Big Apple. We got Rich calling in. Rich, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rich.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have just a general question. I'm 53. My wife is 52. Combined, we earn 180. We don't want to work anymore. I'm tired. Question.
Okay.
When can we retire? How much money do we need?
Well, how much money you need is a function of how you spend. And I'm always harping on people on the spending side of the equation as opposed to the income side of the equation. I mean, cash flow really will determine when you can retire and if you have a comfortable retirement. I mean, neither Rodney nor I could say to you right now, you know, if you have X dollars in assets, you can retire no problem. Now, of course, you know, if you had $10 million and you had no debt, then I would say
probably in a pretty good spot.
You could retire with no problem. But one thing that we do for our clients is a retirement cash flow analysis. and put together a retirement cash flow plan. And we look at, we have a very extensive expense form. We call it the blue form, that has probably, 30, 40 different everyday expense items that people don't think about.
It's a detailed budget, basically.
Yeah. You know, and inflation and taxes bumped up against all the sources of income that you will have fixed known in retirement, and then look at your discretionary areas, your savings and investments, and how those need to supplement. So
do you take into account the 4% rule, or is that if we started that at like 55, is it only 3% we could take out, or, you know?
Well, yeah, and that's the 4% rule is based on a 25-year assumption in retirement, Rich. So typically we would see somebody retiring around the age of 65. We would age them close to 90, mm-hmm. which is sort of the basis for that 25-year time horizon. So to your point, you'd be looking at significantly more than that. You'd be looking at about 35 to 37 years in retirement. So the 4% rule, it would be adjusted downward, which I think is kind of what you were getting at, right?
Right, yeah. Right. All right, yeah. Then as just a general, just so we know, I mean, if right now we're taking in about $8,000 a month and we have $1.3 million in 401k.
Is it $8,000 a month?
And we earn, $180. Are we, really behind? Are we okay? You know what I mean? You think retirement is in our future, or is something like, I'm going to be working until I'm 80?
Well, I mean, I would say retirement is probably in your future. And it's, it's a little bit hard to say just off of the few facts that you've shared with us exactly when you can hang it up. But it's part of what we do, and we don't work off of, just basic, formulas and standards. We actually get into the nitty gritty of how people are living their lives. And are you going to stay in New York? Or do you plan on returning someplace that's a little bit more tax friendly?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, we're definitely going to North Carolina.
Okay.
We're leaving here.
Yeah.
So it's also your fees. If most of our money is in 401ks, I don't know how mm-hmm. I would utilize your service. That's
okay. Well, we do manage.
I don't have $500,000 in a savings account.
No, that's fine. That's fine. But we manage our clients' 401ks for them all the time. While they're still working. So if you want to contact me through email or through phone, I'd be happy to spend more time with you because we're bumping up against the commercial. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, we're up against it here. Rich, appreciate you calling in and joining us here. If you do have some more follow-up questions, actually, feel free to hang on the line and we'll pick you back up when we get back from the break here. You're listening to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group. And we got open lines for you, 844-580-WDBO. 844-580-9326. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With a Certified Financial Group on WDBO. Welcome back to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group right here on WDBO, 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's News and Talk. Hey, I got express lines, open lines, right here onto the show, 844-580-WDBO. You can go ahead and give us a call right now, 844-580-9326. That is the number. Those lines are open, 844-580-WDBO, joined by Nancy Hecht and Rodney Ownby, Certified Financial Planner Professionals at the Certified Financial Group. And before we maybe pivot to some text questions or back to your calls here, Nancy, you did have something you wanted to add on there for Rich.
Yes. Well, so Rich, one big benefit you have on your side, even though I know you want to hang it up today, is you have time. So, if it does look like, through planning, you have to work another 5 or maybe 10 years, first of all, I think the time will go quickly. But it is a huge benefit that a lot of people don't have that you can make work for you. And then Rodney had a couple points also that he wanted to add for you.
Yeah. The only other couple points actually that we wanted to mention in particular for Rich's situation is that he's got a, if he and his wife stop working in that 52, 53 age range, they've got a bridge at least 10 years or so if they took Social Security at age 62. And then they have to bridge an additional 2 or 3 years to get to Medicare age at age 65. So it's going to put a strain on their portfolio in doing that if they did decide to retire at this particular age. Just something to think about.
I think it's
going to be extra cash flow.
I think a great point that Nancy said, too, in the, when he called it and he mentioned, you know, how much money they make and stuff, and something that I hadn't thought of, one, because I'm not anywhere near close to retiring and I don't think I need to be having these thoughts. But it was that, you know, it's not necessarily about how much money you have saved up or how much money you make when you retire, but it's about how much your cash output would be after your retirement. Because I thought that was just a great way of putting that, because I think that maybe a lot of people might think, oh, well, I have X amount of money saved up. That's plenty for me. I'm good. I can retire now. When in actuality, they might end up burning through that a little quicker than they anticipated just because of their expenditures aren't what they may have thought they would be upon retirement.
But Chris, the thing is, you have to look at your outflow and your cash flow and your spending
right now
while you're still working.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you can teach yourself to live below your means, you will have nothing to worry about for the rest of your life.
Oh, yeah. And that's definitely, at this age, is something that I've been trying to do. I have a budget with my money. I track everything that I spend and where I spend it and mm-hmm. what it's going to and everything like that for that exact reason.
Right.
So I can pinpoint those areas where, oh, hey, this is the third straight month where I have gone over my allotted budget that I set for myself in dining out. That's something that maybe I should cut back on, or maybe there's somewhere else in my budget where I'm under my budget and I can fit from that into my eating out if that's something that I don't want to sacrifice. But yeah, I think those are little things to definitely keep track of. The earlier you start these kind of practices in life, the better off that you'll be long term once you are getting ready for that retirement portion of your life.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Absolutely,
so,
Chris.
Yes.
Well, let's go ahead and hit some of these text questions up. Or actually, you know what? Real quick, actually, before we get to the text questions, I do want to highlight that you guys have a workshop next weekend, Saturday, June 26th, Countdown to Retirement, actually. So it's fitting that I'm bringing this up perfectly. This was a totally planned segue.
That's right.
9 to 11. It is in person. That's right. Exciting. In person in the Learning Center, which I actually got a chance to see the Learning Center about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it is awesome. It is phenomenal. It is so cool. And if you're interested in this workshop, and you guys can talk a little bit more about it if you'd like, but it'll be next Saturday from 9 to 11. And that's
right. And that's hosted by Gary Abley. And you have to go to our website, financialgroup.com, and make a reservation. Before that, though, this coming Monday, the 21st, at our offices from 10 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're having a blood drive. So if you're in a position where you can donate blood, please stop by and donate blood. I donated blood Mother's Day, and the blood bank is desperate for donors.
And that's Monday.
Monday, the 21st, from 10 o'clock to 3 in the afternoon at our office.
And it's 111 and Douglas Ave. Just take that.
That's right.
Yeah, 1111 Douglas Avenue.
On I-4, I think, right?
It's the 434 exit.
434 right. Or 436. Yeah,
we're in between those.
We're in between those two.
Yeah, you can get there either way.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, right halfway in between both of them, if you're driving, what is it, westbound, your sign is up above the I-4, which I hadn't noticed that before actually until
I had
driven out that way and driving back, and I was like, oh wow, look, there it is right there. So yeah, if you miss the first exit, you see that sign, take the next one.
And then the other workshop we have this summer is July 24th, also from 9 to 11 in our Learning Center, hosted by this guy named Rodney Ombe.
So it'll be the best one going, right?
Yeah, that's what we're telling.
You said that, not me.
That's what we're telling people.
Everything you want to know about mutual funds. Again, please go to our website, financialgroup.com. You can get some information about the blood drive on Monday, and you will be able to make your reservation for the workshops that are coming up.
And I did want to mention real quickly, Chris, that the week after that, the July 31st, so the week after I do the mutual fund, when Gary's doing the healthcare options in retirement, and that's a really popular one. It fills up fast, so I did want to mention that one as well.
That's right. Yeah, wow. So you got a lot going on here. Very exciting stuff as we ramp back up. The Certified Financial Group's ready to start getting those in-person learning center workshops going. So get ready, get lined up, get to the website and get signed up for those. Let's see. It looks like we do have actually a question on the live Facebook chat, okay, which is exciting. Is it a good idea to buy some precious metals right now as a hedge? That's from Tim. He's actually watching on Facebook right now. And if you want to, you can actually participate on that. And you can go to facebook.com/onthemoneyfl and you can actually watch the broadcast live there. So that's a fun way to interact. But that's the question that we got on the Facebook.
So, Tim, there are a couple exchange-traded funds that invest in gold or silver or copper. I'm not endorsing any one of those in particular, but precious metals are considered to be a hedge against stocks or bonds. They're supposed to move in the opposite direction. So you should get some diversification, which is important. When I invest in those types of items for my clients, I do it as what I call toe of the sock type of investing. You just allocate a certain percentage of dollars to that and you sort of forget about it. Over the last number of years, when equities have done extremely well, the gold fund hasn't done a whole lot. But, you know, last year when everything sunk in March, the gold fund held value. I have my own personal opinions on silver and copper.
But you can get a precious metals fund that's diversified across those different asset classes.
Yes,
you can.
So, I mean, to be diversified, we think is extremely important. And, you know, not having all your eggs in one basket is a really, really old statement, but, you know, it makes a lot of sense. So do your due diligence, get something that is diversified, get something that is liquid, and, you know, just do it as a little side thing and forget about it.
As Joe would say, don't bet the farm on it.
Yes, that's a good place.
Make sure it's just part of your diversification.
Right.
Diversification is key in that. Let's go to another one. We actually have got Krista, who's also commenting on the Facebook feed right now. Again, that's facebook.com/onthemoneyfl. Hello, what assets should be considered for funding living trust, bank accounts, and real estate? Anything else? And again, that's from Krista.
Do you want to address this?
Repeat the question, Carissa.
Okay, yeah.
I
don't think I inflected that right for you. Assets should be considered for funding living trust? Does it mean bank accounts and real estate? Or is there anything else?
Okay, so my assumption is that Krista has put together a living trust and she wants to know what assets get retitled in the name of the trust.
Yeah, I think she's got bank accounts and real estate and is wondering if there's anything else.
All right, so typically it is bank accounts, non-retirement investment accounts.
Taxable brokerage accounts.
Right. I don't think that the primary residence should go in the name of the living trust, but if there's investment real estate, then that could be put in the name of the trust also. You don't want to put your qualified accounts, your retirement accounts, or your life insurances. You don't want those owned by the trust. But the trust could be a beneficiary depending on what your family dynamics are.
What the succession plan is, exactly.
Right.
All right, that's some good stuff there. 844-580-9326. That will actually do it for the Facebook Live questions. 844-580-WDBO. What we'll do is we'll take a quick break here, come back and close up shop. Final segment of On the Money coming up. You're listening to On the Money right here, presented by the Certified Financial Group, where we're planning tomorrow.
Today.
Right here on WDBO. And welcome back to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group, right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580 Orlando's News and Talk. I got open lines for you in this final segment if you want to dial in, jump on as we close things out at 844-580-WDBO. 844-580-9326 is the number. We're hanging out here. Chris Crawford here with Nancy Heck and Rodney Ownby of the Certified Financial Group. Let's go ahead and hit some of these text questions up that we get throughout the week here. This first one is, I delayed my Social Security until age 70. Will my spouse receive half of that age 70 benefit or half of the amount I was eligible for at full retirement?
So the answer is B. It would be half of the amount that the spouse was eligible for at full retirement age, which is typically between 66 and 67. It sounds like for this particular the age range that these folks are in.
Right. Yes.
Okay, let's go to the next one. We got another good one here. I bet actually, that's simple enough. No, that's good though. But
yeah.
That's such a simple question that I imagine so many people had that same exact question.
Yeah.
Well, and the point is that they could have as much as 30% more that
right.
they're making per month, and it would be reduced back to half to the benefit of full retirement age.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good information there. Let's go to the second one here. What is a VPN, and why do I need one?
Because everybody needs it.
Yes.
Everybody needs it. I told four people this week that they need to do a VPN. So it's a virtual private network. So a lot of people are looking up and accessing everything on their phones or maybe a little laptop, oftentimes on public networks. So you have no idea who's...
So like a Starbucks or Panera Bread or somewhere like that.
Or something, yeah.
Unsecured networks.
Or just like, you know, sitting out in the open,
right.
you know, downtown, and you're God knows whose networks you're getting onto.
Well, especially with this new Amazon Sidewalk thing that's coming out too. Where
yeah.
you're going to link all these Wi-Fis if yours goes out. So you could be
so
on somebody else.
So people are accessing all their private information and not having a care in the world as to who's next to them or driving by and may have access to it. So you can go into your app store and look for a VPN and download it onto your phone and make sure in your settings that the VPN is on all the time and that will protect you.
Yeah.
Everybody needs it.
And you'll have a separate login for that.
Yes.
To get into that network.
Yeah. Many of them used to be free. Now there's a small monthly fee for it. But if you've ever been a victim of identity theft and you know... the personal hell you have to go through trying to reclaim your own name, you don't want to do it. And a VPN is such an easy thing to take advantage of to protect yourself.
I would also recommend updating your Wi-Fi password at home once a year. But that's just me as
yes.
well. But that's just
that's a good
yeah.
idea. That's a good idea, Chris.
And then let's close out another one here. Should you be saving for your retirement if you have credit card debt? That's a good one.
That's one that I get frequently. Yeah, which do you tackle first? And ideally, if you can do both at the same
right.
time, that is the best thing. Depending on how much debt there is and what type of interest rates there are, I have recommended that people put a little bit of a pause on the retirement savings
right.
and literally attack the credit card debt.
If they're dealing
the
with really high balances with a 20%+ interest rate, then
yes.
they really have to aggressively go after that
yes.
first. Exactly.
Yes. You know, and it may take a little bit more aggressive saving in retirement in later years where, you know, hopefully you'll have a higher income. So it won't be that big of an impact. But ideally, if you can do both, do it. If not, get the debt off the table. And learn a lesson from it.
Exactly.
Don't
That's
charge any more than you can pay off every single month.
Most importantly.
Good stuff there. All right. I'm curious here. We've got about 2 minutes left. So I'm going to ask both of you this question because I'm just curious. When you were kind of younger in your age and starting to get into this kind of field, what are some little things that you two would do maybe to help save money or grow your wealth at a younger age when maybe there's a lot of people out there who are thinking, I don't know what I can do besides keep taking my paychecks and throwing them into a savings account every week or so.
Do you want to go first?
Okay, I'll jump in here.
Okay.
Just throwing you on the spot here.
Yeah, no, that's
fine.
That's fine. I get this question a lot, actually. The biggest thing that I would do differently, Chris, is that the we've talked about the miracle of compounding before. And the decade of your 20s, if you start saving in your early 20s, is irreplaceable. I mean, in theory, you could start saving at age 20, and you could stop at age 30, and if you invested it properly, you would have enough money for retirement without saving another dime after age 30. I started in my late 20s, which was a little bit late in the game in terms of getting the benefits of this compounding. That's the biggest thing that I would do differently. And I talk to all my clients, they have grandchildren and children, that is one of the most important things that they can impress upon their generations. Is to start saving early.
As somebody who also started in the late 20s, I would agree with that statement.
Yeah.
Well, and so would I. I mean, I started working when I was 14. And it wasn't until I was 27 that I really grasped the idea of pay yourself first.
Right.
And
that's still a good age. That's still a good early age. It's just not as early as as you could do it to benefit yourself in the
long run. Exactly.
And real quick, only 30 seconds here, but I do want to get this in. For the parents out there who've got kids who are maybe trying to instill some of these values in their kids, is there anything you guys have done to your kids to help them start saving at a younger age and earn the importance and the value of saving and money?
Well, my daughter, for whenever she got an allowance or a gift, there was a certain percentage that absolutely positively had to go into
savings.
And then a certain amount they had to go to donate, and then the rest she could spend.
She paid herself first, though.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Which is what we say all the time.
Perfect. Great stuff. Well, another fantastic show. Really appreciate everyone tuning in and joining us here this morning. And again, thank you so much, Nancy and Rodney, for the great information today. Another fantastic show in the books. We'll be back at the same time, same place next week for Rodney Ownby and Nancy Heck. Don't forget, you can give them a call at the office at 407-869-9800 or 1-800-EXECUTE as if you are executing a financial plan. My name is Chris Crawford, and we're planning tomorrow.
Today.
For the Certified Financial Group on WDBO.